everyone. Just want to give you a quick heads up about today's episode. We tried something a little different today. We did this podcast on camera, and we used different mics and changed our setup a little bit. Consequently, you will hear some minor audio issues like background noise. I promise it's still very listenable, but we will work out the kinks and shouldn't have any problems going forward. I do apologize, but thank you and enjoy the show.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go!
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Hey, welcome to Fantasy Football Today here for CBS Sports. I'm Adam Azer. I got the gang here with me, Dave, Jamie, and Heath. Now, we did a PPR mock draft yesterday. We're going to talk about it today. Heath had the first pick, so we'll find out what he did. Guys, I got to tell you, we'll get into a lot more. Also, head-to-head categories league? Yes, but I got to tell you, I thought the PPR draft was more challenging than the standard scoring draft. What did you think?
The exact opposite.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Much easier.
Okay.
Why? Because the talent pool, it's like it's safer. Like, everybody at running back and wide receiver, it's safer. There's more safe players to draft. Because catches count a full point.
Yeah, the floor is raised.
The floor is raised.
Yeah, okay, here's why I thought it was harder. Because we talked about the elite group of wide receivers, the top 8 or 10 or whatever it is, top 8 probably. I feel like if you don't have one of them, you're in a lot of trouble in PPR. And I kind of wanted two, and I couldn't get that, but I don't know, that was kind of a challenge to me. And also the balancing act of, do I go with the elite running back who catches 50 passes, or a guy like Mike Evans, you know. So I thought there was a bit of a challenge there, especially early in round two.
I thought it was interesting. There were three owners, two of which are sitting here with me, that went running back with their first two picks. Now, Heath's a little bit different because he was at the turn, so he could have, you know, maybe gone a different direction. But the third owner, one of our editors, George Maselli, I thought his wide receiver group came out great. I didn't particularly love the two wide receiver groups for you guys, but your running backs obviously are incredible. So that's going to overcome that. Now, Dave, you also took Jordan Reed, you know, so that kind of compensates a little bit for what you did at receiver.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, though, just in PPR that we still had three guys go running back. One owner actually went receiver in Matthew Coca and still ended up with good running backs as well.
Yeah, I thought about doing that. All right, so look, we'll get to that draft a little bit later. And what we're going to do is sort of compare it to the standard scoring draft that we did last week and also look at the rookies. They're still pretty relevant right now and see – like Leonard Fournette, was he still a first-round pick? You'll find out. Also, I'm going to ask you guys about Danny Woodhead in PPR, tight end strategy, and head-to-head categories, fantasy football. Can it work? It is the best way to play fantasy baseball. Is there a way to do it in fantasy football? And I think we may have found a way, Heath, to do that while counting kickers in the most awesome way possible. So I look forward to your reaction on that.
There is a most awesome way possible. That's not counting kickers.
No. We're going to count them. Now, we had a fun active chat room in the draft yesterday. Let's get our chat room quote of the day. It was from Heath, and it was Will Brinson was talking about taking Leonard Fournette in the first round, and people were saying, yeah, he's going to be a first-round pick. And Heath said, quote, "We'll make the bust column easier to write," end quote, if Leonard Fournette is a first-round pick. What is up with that, Heath, not feeling Leonard Fournette in the first round?
I don't even dislike Leonard Fournette. I think he's a fantastic running back. The situation in Jacksonville is pretty awful, in my opinion. Maybe they'll be much improved and it'll be a better situation for a running back, but I just don't know why you would take him in the first round. There's at the very least 9, probably 10 other running backs that I would rather have, plus all the wide receivers. There's just no reason to do it. It reminds me a lot of Trey Turner coming into this fantasy baseball season.
Oh,
people
started
taking him at the end of the first, start of the second round. I didn't dislike him, but you just didn't need to take him that early.
Dave, what do you think about fantasy baseball?
I don't know who Trey Turner is. There's an offensive lineman.
Well, it's because he plays in the National League. You only know the American League.
I don't know either league.
He's no Tim Anderson.
No, definitely not.
I know Tim Anderson. That's pretty much it.
I'm still waiting for the 2020.
Well, we haven't really heard that much from Heath on Leonard Fournette, I guess. So, like, I gave the stat, Heath, that every top 10 running back since Trent Richardson, there's only been 3, has finished as a top 10 running back in their top 9, in fact, in their rookie season in standard.
And the biggest thing is, I don't even know if he's my favorite rookie running back in PPR.
No, that's the thing. In PPR, he wasn't a first-round pick, but in standard, he was. So in standard, you don't think that Leonard Fournette should be a first-round pick?
No, I don't. I think late second is fine. I would prefer to take him in the third. I probably won't get any of them if that's where he's going to go.
All right. Quick disclaimer for the listeners out there. We are going to be doing some video podcasting, and we are experimenting with some different mics right now. So it might sound a little bit different. We're working on it. We will perfect it. Give us a little bit of time. Sorry if there are any issues, but shouldn't be much of a problem. All right, guys. Fred, how you guys doing? Feel so like it's been so professional so far, not personal enough. How you feeling?
We get, we get to see you in like a giant screen. So
yeah,
this is
that's
fun.
Right. We're on video right now. This is sort of a trial run, but you will be able to see some of this on CBSSports.com.
Adam wore a button-down shirt to the podcast
I hate it. Yes. I showered. Yeah. I showered.
You didn't even shave. You didn't shave.
I didn't shave, but I did shower.
I can't believe you're saying I showered.
I don't know that showering.
That's a rare thing for you. You don't shower very often.
Well,
people shower every day.
Well, I'll give you a quick behind the scenes. So
guess
I said,
what, guys? I brushed my teeth today.
I said to him just to give him a heads up that we're all wearing button-down shirts today. And he says, that's a shame. And I said, well, some of us actually have to be around people today.
Yeah.
Because we're in an office and he's at home. And he said, what a pity. And I said, the pity is actually how you smell.
Right.
Not exactly the rest of us having to deal with that.
And then that's why I showered. And I'm still on a steady 6 showers per week diet. But if I could ask you some fantasy football questions now, because now I feel uncomfortable. Are you okay being the last person to draft a tight end?
Sure.
Yes. And to reference the mock draft again, Jack Doyle was there in round 13, which
yeah,
was ridiculous.
I thought about that because I was the last person to draft a tight end. I'd be okay being the second to last person to draft a tight end.
That's probably a little bit better. Who'd you end up getting?
Kobe Fleener.
So you took Fleener consciously over Doyle.
Yeah, I did. And
did everybody else already have two?
It's a 12-team league, by the way. So in a 10-team league, I would definitely be fine drafting, being the last to draft a tight end. But Hunter Henry went. I wanted to take him. I knew he was going to go before I had the chance to take him. And, yeah, I don't know. Martellus Bennett was off the board. I took Fleener because I have Willie Snead, and I feel
you did. You did. You had two tight ends.
I did take two tight ends.
Yes. Yeah, I did, too. I took Doyle in round 13 because I think he's a top 10 guy. So for him to be sitting there was crazy.
You know what you do when you're that late in the draft and you need a tight end? You go, you look at the schedule, and you see what the matchups are for week one. Because you're streaming tight ends if you're waiting that long. Ladarius Green plays at Cleveland, assuming he's healthy. The Steelers play at Cleveland.
Word.
Yeah, that's right. The Steelers play. Hopefully Ladarius is green. I think we feel a little bit better about Austin Hooper making it to week one. He plays at Chicago.
All right, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so those are two guys. If you're really stuck late, you can go and get them.
I don't mind waiting until the end to take tight end, but there's this weird place right now in drafts where we get to the fifth round, the sixth round, and there's like no running backs or wide receivers that I feel like are a good value.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen sooner than round 5 and round 6.
Yeah.
Like 5, maybe, not 6.
Okay, so I probably shouldn't have waited to take Kobe Fleener, but I Acer strategy.
Oh, no, you wait to take Kobe.
You should have waited longer to take him on the waiver wire.
There is no way that both Kobe Fleener and Willie Snead are going to be bad this year. So I have both of them. I feel like I am guaranteed – this is Acer strategy. I am guaranteed to have at least one good player out of those two.
Every week?
No, season long. Like, okay, sure, in the worst case scenario, they alternate good weeks. I never know who to start. I mean, I have to start both of them. They don't play the same position. But I just feel like there's no way they both have a bad year if they stay healthy. One of them is going to pick up the slack, or both of them will pick up the slack from Brandon Cooks' departure.
I get that, but if you're starting both of them every week, then you're basically saying I'm guaranteed to have one good player out of two starting spots.
But I don't have to start both of them every week. I mean, Snead is depth for me right now. He's a bench player for me. And Fleener, I could drop. If it turns out that Snead is the guy that benefits and Fleener still stinks, then I'm streaming tight ends and I drop him.
I just don't understand why you took Fleener over Doyle.
Yeah, I don't know. I looked at Jack Doyle's game log, and I was so uninspired by it. That's honestly why. Like I
and you've seen Kobe Fleener's, and you went, oh, yeah, give me more of that.
Yeah, I saw Kobe Fleener when he was with the Colts. I know it's ironic.
Yeah, but that
Doyle
should
is.
Be the reason that you took Doyle, because his best numbers came when Allen wasn't there.
I feel like they'll get Swope involved or something like that.
I'm a little worried about that happening, too. But I think Doyle's going to play way more than Swope. And I think, worst case, Swope steals.
They're not going to run a lot of two tight end sets with Kamari Aiken there.
Injuries, news, and notes here. Apparently, speaking of moving on, the Patriots aren't quite ready to do that with LeGarrette Blount. They gave him a one-year, $1.1 million tender offer. That means he's got until July 22nd to sign with another team, and if he does, the Patriots will get a compensatory pick. If by July 22nd, LeGarrette Blount is not with another team, he's only playing for the Patriots this year. So
I didn't even know about this rule. Did you?
No.
Did you?
I don't think most of the teams in the NFL did.
Like, I'd like to think I know a lot about
else, once again.
How the front office works. I had never heard of this.
And so apparently, like, he was on the verge of signing with a team, most likely was Baltimore. And they hold on to their compensatory picks like you hold on to your children. And so it would cost them a third-round pick by signing Blount. And Ozzie Newsome's not going to do that.
Okay,
that's the report.
Is he going to be on the Patriots? I mean, what do you make of this? This stinks.
It's actually kind of smart on their part if he is, because you have a 10-week window of seeing if anybody gets hurt. And so you kind of do what you did with Deion Lewis last year, is you just keep him out for 10 games. He's going to make the same amount of money. So you pay him $1.1 million to sit out for 9 weeks. Come week 10, he's on your team.
Well, why is he sitting out for 9 weeks? So he can, after 10 weeks, he can sign with another team, I thought, if he sits out.
Maybe I'm reading it incorrectly.
Yeah, the rules on this are so unknown, but I think it makes a lot of sense for the Patriots. It's terrible for LeGarrette Blount, and it's probably good for Amir Abdullah, or I guess Terrence West.
Kenneth Dixon, whoever it is.
And the guys in the Giants, because the Giants are also a team that's like
right.
GM too.
Couldn't the Patriots just agree to a deal with the team that LeGarrette wants to sign with? And say, okay, we'll sign him to whatever contract you want, and then we'll trade him to you for, instead of a third round pick, which is the compensatory pick, give us a fourth. Now, the question is somebody going to give that up for LeGarrette Blount? I don't think so.
No, not after your.
And I don't know if the Patriots would do that for a sixth.
You're seeing the guys who are drafted in this draft that went after round four or into round four or later.
You know?
So he can negotiate with them up until week 10. So you're right, Adam. After week 10, he could sign with whoever he wants. But let's just say it's week 8. They decide that they could bring LeGarrette Blount in if he's. Hasn't got a team by then, why wouldn't he?
Well, I know, but if he doesn't sign by July 22nd, then he is on the Patriots. The only way around that is he waits 10 weeks and he signs with another team. So assume that if LeGarrette Blount does not sign with another team, which would have to, they don't have to give up a compensatory pick, do they? The Patriots would just get one, I thought, but I don't know.
They just get one, yes.
Okay, then they would just have him. They don't have to wait. Like, he's theirs for $1.1 million. And really, Mike Gillisley went in round 4 in the standard scoring league, and he went around 5 in the PPR league. And he's the one that really gets screwed here if LeGarrette Blount comes back, no?
I guess it would just depend on when LeGarrette Blount comes back.
I don't know why it wouldn't be immediately if they signed him, unless he just wants to hold out and go to another team, you're saying? Like,
I don't know.
Wait the 10 weeks.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to say.
All right. Well, it wouldn't. They have so many damn running backs. We get to talk about Michael Floyd again.
Well, you forget. They also brought in Kristen Michael to audition him.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about Michael Floyd. We've gone almost 16 minutes without talking about Michael Floyd, and that is like a record on this show. One-year deal with the Vikings. He, of course, has the DUI. There might be a suspension here. When Michael Floyd is playing, is he going to be the best wide receiver on Minnesota?
He could be.
No, I just want to know, like, for Michael Floyd to have value, they're going to have to hike the ball to Sam Bradford, and he's going to have to lateral the ball to someone else that can throw it downfield to get the ball to Michael Floyd. Michael Floyd's not going to succeed on the three-yard routes.
Career leader in completion percentage?
Yeah, oh, he can complete three-yard passes, five-yard passes, yeah. But Michael Floyd doesn't win there. He wins deep
it's
down the
same
field.
Thing that hurts Stephon Diggs and hurts Adam Thielen and hurts all these guys. So
right. If he makes the team.
Oh, he's going to make the team. Why wouldn't he?
Well, he could be disciplined still by the NFL for what happened.
Sure, but they have to know that going in.
They do. He's reunited with Kyle Rudolph in Minnesota. They were teammates in Notre Dame. That's
hometown.
Fun.
He's a Minnesota kid.
Yeah, that's right. This is a hometown deal for him.
Did you know that Kyle Rudolph led all tight ends in targets last year?
Not a surprise, yes. Given who ended up calling plays.
But also, you know, to his point, part of the reason why he was throwing the ball 3 yards down the field was because the offensive line was terrible. And so, you know, we've talked about this a lot with Dalvin Cook and Latavius Murray, and that the offensive line should, in theory, be better because they added two tackles. And hopefully that
the center they drafted apparently is doing very well too.
So, you know, you have upgrades at three spots. It should help everybody, hopefully the passing game as well. So I think the worst thing about this is, are they completely giving up on Laquon Treadwell at this point?
Right.
You know, because you would think letting Cordarrelle Patterson go, whatever impact he had on the passing game was minimal, but it was still a body there that was in the mix. And now they bring in the guy who, just based on pedigree is their best receiver on paper. And so, I mean, if I'm doing a dynasty draft anytime soon, I'm only taking a late round flyer at this point on Treadwell because they don't seem to have any faith in him at all.
Well, okay, Michael Floyd is entering his sixth season. I and others on this podcast, but not all, got excited about him going into last year because in the last 10 games of 2015, Floyd had 5 100-yard games. He scored double-digit fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in 6 of 7 games in which he had 8 or more targets. The other games, he had barely any targets. So basically, when they threw him the ball, he did really well. And then he was a total bust last year, ended up playing for the Patriots and winning a ring, and now he's with Minnesota. Okay, rank the three Vikings wide receivers right now.
Diggs, Thielen, Floyd.
Diggs, Thielen, Floyd? Okay.
I might take Thielen ahead of Diggs. I'm not a big Diggs fan.
And finally, the NFL denied Josh Gordon's reinstatement bid. Gordon can try again later this year. Let's have a little fun here. Let's talk about a new way to play fantasy football. Head-to-head categories leagues. I tried to get this going like 2 years ago, I think. Fell flat on its face. It's going to happen again. It's not like anybody's actually going to play it. But hypothetically speaking, how would you play a head-to-head categories league? Does anybody have any interest in doing a head-to-head categories fantasy football league?
I love the idea.
No.
I love it.
Thank you, Heath. Thank you.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I've ever played in a head-to-head categories league ever in my life. So maybe I'm too quick to say no. Have you ever played
in that? Yes, and I would never do it for football.
So how does it work exactly? What is a head-to-head categories league?
You compete each week in like 10 different categories. So there may be passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, touchdowns. Let's just say those four.
Okay.
And so if your team has the most passing yards that week, you win that category. If you have the most rushing yards,
and whoever
you win
wins the most categories wins the week.
Wins the week.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's two ways to do it. Whoever wins the most categories goes 1-0, or if I win 7 categories and you win 3, I go 7-3 and you're 3-7.
That's the best way to do it.
Okay, so the categories I came up with on how this head-to-head categories league would work would be total yards. I just had yards, and I broke up touchdowns into passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, and receiving touchdowns. And the reason I did this was so you could have more value in the touchdown vulture guys that you could roster on your team just to help you out in a specific category. I also think you need to expand the rosters a little bit to do this. So total yards would be kind of interesting because it would combine all your passing, receiving, and rushing yards. That would be
one. What about kick return? That's part of total yards.
Okay, you could do kick returns too. I think this is the fun one, Heath. Total field goal yards.
Would be one.
I think that's really cool. That's a cool way to make kicking more interesting, I think. Total field goal yards.
Nope.
Turnovers. It would be like turnovers in basketball. The fewest in that category wins the category. And then you could have, if you want, a lot of IDP categories. You could have tackles, sacks, pass breakups, forced fumbles, and interceptions.
I don't know if I like this, Adam.
See, I
don't know
like
if it's as fun as the typical head-to-head, one-on-one, my guys versus your guys.
It's never going to catch on in football. It's good for basketball. It's good for baseball.
And theoretically, isn't it kind of the same as what we do?
Well, not when you're doing – nobody's going to like the 7-3 scenario in football.
Right. That's the appeal, I think, is that you can win – like you can go 9-1 or 10-0. And that happens sometimes. Like you will 10-0 somebody.
I like different things, so I know why I like the idea. Like, just do something different, whatever. It doesn't, like, I don't want to play all my leagues like this. But Adam, we say IDP, he runs away. We say Dynasty, he cowers in the corner. But
that was another interesting part.
He wants to do the different thing.
Another interesting part of the chat room yesterday was him complaining about, because he's part, we had to make him co-owner of my team.
Yes.
Because he had to see the results.
The Dynasty League. The Dynasty
League. For the show that he does, that he actually had to shower and shave for.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to see the results, and then is complaining that he's getting emails for said league.
That's pretty annoying. I'm getting ad drop emails for a league I'm not even in. I'm getting notified that it's my draft pick. I'm not even in a league. Like, that's pretty annoying. Commissioner Heath, I think you should take me off the league.
Well, look, we've had a lot of success when we've shared teams together. You can be my co-owner on this. I've done all the legwork, so thankfully the team will be good. But you can hop on the bandwagon if you want.
Me? I am totally good. In fact, I got a league invite from a prominent fantasy league commissioner.
I heard about this.
And I declined it.
Yeah.
Scott Fishbowl. I am not in. After all that bitching about not being invited last year, I've declined
the invite. Dude, you were begging to get in last year, and now you get the chance and you're out?
I am out before I could even get in, yes. I'm trying to reduce the leagues. Too many leagues.
That's actually not true. You're talking about adding another league. We're not going to talk about it here, but you're talking about adding another league.
I am?
To help your ability to sit at Knicks games. That's what you're trying to do.
Okay, more on that in a different show. So Heath and I will play a head-to-head categories league. We'll see if we can actually make it happen, Heath.
Why don't you do the podcast reject league like that?
I don't know if we can. I don't even know if it's possible. I've never seen it anywhere.
You can just keep track of
the scoring by hand.
Yeah, you just do the scoring.
Okay, I'll do scoring by hand. That's a great idea. I'll pick up the newspaper on Monday and I'll count all the stats.
No. You could actually use the internet.
Okay, how many field goal yards this week? Yeah, let's go. 43 plus 48.
Wait,
plus
there's differing. 27. The New York Times has Brendan McManus for 45 yards and the New York Post has him for 46. What do we do?
What if we did field goal yards, though?
No, that's terrible.
Like, what if we just had a league with all kickers?
Kickers in a fantasy league again.
But I'm saying in a regular points fantasy league, like you get 4.6 points for a 46-yard field goal.
Leagues do that.
Yeah, I think I'd like to do something like that. It's a little more interesting.
Sounds great.
Commission of the league.
PPR draft. All right, let's finally get into the 12-team point-per-reception draft that we did yesterday. Don't know why I felt the need to tell you what PPR stands for. Did you know that 11 running backs caught 50 or more passes last year? That's a lot. However, most of them were between 50 and 60. Only two running backs caught more than 60 passes, David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. Bell was on pace for 100 catches last year. So if you recall, I doubt you do, but I do, on April 18th, I did a Twitter poll. In a PPR league, who is your first pick? I got about 1,800 votes. The two options were your favorite running back or your favorite wide receiver. In a PPR league, who is your first pick? And your favorite running back won 53% to 47%. There it is. And Heath, you had the first overall pick in this PPR draft, and you went with...
David Johnson.
Your favorite running back.
David obviously. Johnson.
Why obviously?
Okay, it's not obvious at all. I think it's a coin flip between him and Le'Veon Bell. I prefer David Johnson. I would not take Ezekiel Elliott. And I had decided, it's weird, one of the reasons I'd kind of come around on this was at the 2-3 turn in the drafts I'd done so far, I'd found that I liked the wide receivers a lot more than I liked the running backs that were left. But then we got to the 2-3 turn, and I took another running back.
Who'd you take?
Todd Gurley.
Hmm. Who was your third pick?
Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas. So you started with David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Demaryius Thomas.
Yep. And I would rather start with one running back and two wide receivers, but there was a run of wide receivers taken right before my pick, and so I took Gurley.
Okay. And you feel all right about it? You have, like, if you could do it again, you'd take David Johnson again?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Definitely.
Okay.
Johnson. Can I ask you a question, Heath?
Yeah, yes. Go ahead, Dave.
You are the only person in this draft to pass on Rob Gronkowski three times. You had no interest in taking him with
the
top pick in round
three. I wouldn't say three times. Two times. Nobody's taking him first overall.
No one's going to take him. Fine.
But I did. You know, I did pass on him three times. I'm challenging
Heath,
Rob Gronkowski.
You passed on everybody once.
No, but he's right. I mean,
I was the only person to pass on Le'Veon Bell, too.
He passed on him three times. He did. I mean, it's a fact. Well,
fine. You pass on him on the 2-3 turn. You took Gurley and Demaryius instead. Why don't you like Gronk?
It's not that I dislike Gronk, but I don't know that you can count on him to play more than, you're going to guess 12 games next year. They have all the weapons they've ever needed. And we saw last year, I think, with the Patriots, they're not afraid if a guy gets dinged up. Like, he doesn't have to go on the IR to miss games. Gronk gets a little dinged up in week 12, just let him rest for a couple of weeks. So I'm fine taking him in the third round. I'm probably not going to take him at the 2-3 turn if I started with a running back, especially after taking Todd Gurley with a second pick.
Okay, and David Johnson was the number one running back in PPR and in standard last year. And I will say that Johnson...
But Le'Veon would have passed him, though.
He would have. On a per-game basis, Bell was the best. But Johnson and Bell averaged about four or five more fantasy points per game than Ezekiel Elliott last year. But you never know. I mean, Bell caught 75 passes in 12 games. Johnson caught 80 passes in a full season. You don't know that they're going to be able to pull that off again, but they should definitely be factors in the passing game.
Well, the interesting thing with both those guys is Johnson now has, hopefully, a healthy John Brown to contend with, what should be a better J.J. Nelson to contend with, and we'll see how those two guys impact the passing game there in Arizona. And then with Bell, you have Martavis Bryant coming back. They drafted Juju in the second round of the NFL draft, you know, so that's another receiver to add to the mix. So both those guys could take a slight hit with their receptions. But the third guy, I think, on almost everybody's draft board, Ezekiel Elliott, is not going to catch him. And shockingly enough, whether Will Brinson knew that we were doing a PPR draft or not, he took Elliott at 2 overall. And then Matthew Coca took Odell Beckham at 3 overall. I would say both Steelers guys should go in those respective spots.
Yeah, and then Brown and Bell went 4 and 5. Actually, let's run down the first round here of our PPR draft. Heath had the first pick, and then why do you always do this to me? You always make me pick consecutively with you guys. I had the 8th pick, Dave had the 9th pick, and Jamie had the 10th pick. Random. So David Johnson 1, Ezekiel Elliott 2, Odell Beckham 3, Antonio Brown 4, Le'Veon Bell 5, Julio Jones 6. I mean, standard PPR, you're pretty much going to get the same top 6 in some order, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You could see a scenario maybe where Zeke falls if people just don't want to buy into him. I don't understand why, but, you know, with the offensive line shifting around a little bit, you know, they're going to move Lyle Collins to, I think, right tackle, right, or right guard?
Tackle.
Not sure.
Tackle.
Tackle, right tackle would right. make sense, though.
And they don't have, you know, Leary anymore, so there's some shifting there. So who knows? But I think for the most part, though, you're looking at the same top three receivers and the same top three running backs.
Okay, and then so let's go to 7. That's where it gets more interesting always. In this PPR draft, the 7th pick was Mike Evans. I took A.J. Green with the 8th pick. So, Dave, this was what was interesting. It's the three of us had picks 8, 9, and 10. You had 3 running backs and 4 receivers off the board, with Mike Evans being the 7th pick. And I didn't know. Like, I could see Melvin Gordon getting a ton of catches next year. And wide receivers are really valuable in PPR, obviously. But the pass-catching running backs are probably the ones that, well, they're definitely the ones that have more value in PPR compared to standard, I would say.
Thank you for taking A.J. Green, because that left Melvin Gordon to me.
Right, and I was deciding. Nine. I was deciding. I even thought about Devontae Freeman there, but I could see Melvin Gordon getting a ton of catches. Last year, he had 41 catches in 13 games.
Do you really see that going up, though, with what they did?
No.
Who did? Right, San Diego?
And that's why I took Green. That's why I took Green.
Yeah.
They're the same.
Yeah, I don't see the Chargers giving Gordon more receptions.
Well, he'll get more receptions if just on a per-game basis, no, but he only played 13 games, so.
Right.
So
yeah, I disagree.
I think you made the call right call, Adam. I think A.J. Green's the pick there.
Okay. Oh, me too. Yeah. I wasn't taking Gordon at 10 if he was there.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a bad pick, but I just think that there's more upside with those receivers.
All right. So I took A.J. Green. Dave took Melvin Gordon. And then Jordy Nelson to Jamie, Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton. So, you know, guys like LeSean McCoy, Devontae Freeman, Jordan Howard, they were not first-round picks. They were pushed down to the second round because Jordy, Dez, and Hilton were the last 3 picks of the first round, which means we had 8 wide receivers in the first round and 4 running backs.
Yep.
And then Dave, all right, let's go to Dave. Let's go to round 2 here. So after the last 6 of round 1 were Evans, Green, Gordon, Nelson, Bryant, Hilton. LeSean McCoy, who was a big factor in the pass game, he had more than 50 catches last year. Michael Thomas. Jamie took Devontae Freeman to give him a running back and a wide receiver. And Dave goes running back. Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, the top 8 receivers are off the board, and Michael Thomas 9 is off the board, Dave. By the time we get to the 4th pick of round 2, which is your next pick, you go running back with Gordon and then Jordan Howard. Do you think you should have taken a wide receiver in the first round and gotten your running back in the second round?
No, because there wasn't a wide receiver that I was confident enough in to call a stud number 1 choice. We've talked about this. We've got 8 or 9 wide receivers. They're the elite. They're the best of the best. And the PPR factor, it definitely pushes up the value of a lot of these other receivers where they come closer to running backs like Jordan Howard. But I know that running back is a thin position.
No, that's not what he asked you.
No, in the first round.
In first round, if you regret not taking a receiver instead of Gordon.
No, same answer. Because I know that stud running backs are going to be rare in fantasy. I don't care what league you play in. There's not going to be a lot of them. Now,
right,
but value is added to guys like Danny Woodhead and guys like that who catch a lot of passes, 40, 50 passes. But I still want to have that position as locked as I can. And I'm not willing to take a receiver who I think will be good as a first-round pick, like a Jordy, a Dez, over one of those stud running backs. It won't do it.
Okay, so all I'm saying is if you don't take one in the first round, you're not getting a top 8 wide receiver.
Probably not. Not unless a lot of other people in the first round take running backs.
If Thomas was there, would you have still taken Howard?
No, I would have taken Thomas over Howard.
Yeah. Okay. So back to round 2. LeSean McCoy, Michael Thomas, Devontae Freeman, Jordan Howard, Amari Cooper to me, which I just hated. This is why I struggle with this draft. Like, I don't want to take Amari Cooper with a 5th pick of round 2.
I thought it was a good pick.
Did anybody else think it was a good pick?
Who was it?
Amari Cooper?
It's
you had to take. Like, who else are going to take?
I mean, I probably would have gone to Jai either.
Okay.
Because, you know, you hear what Clyde Christensen was saying about him being more involved in the passing game, which I think is going to happen. They solidified their offensive line, which, you know, last year was an issue. I mean, the key is clearly Mike Pouncey being healthy, but, you know, drafting Austin from Utah, I believe it was the fifth round in the NFL draft, that gives them their left guard with everybody else still being there. So if he has that line in front of him with catching more passes, I mean, he's a borderline top five guy.
If the line is good, but the line's not there. I mean, Brandon Albert's gone, and Pouncey's always hurt.
No, the key is Pouncey. If Pouncey's right, this line is going to be good, if not great. But that's what you're banking on.
Okay. So McCoy, Michael Thomas, Freeman, Howard, Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, sixth pick of round two, DeMarco Murray, Jay Ajayi, Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette, ninth pick of round two. Heath, what do you think about that? PPR.
There were at least five or six other people I would have rather had there, but I don't think this is out of the range of where I should go.
Okay. And then after Murray, Ajayi, and Fournette, we have Allen Robinson, Doug Baldwin, and Heath took Todd Gurley. Look, we've done these draft reviews, and we just did one. I don't know that I want to go through this all round by round. I want to know how you went about constructing your team. And Heath, you obviously had a different perspective because you were picking first. Jamie, Dave, and I were picking 7th, 8th, and 9th. But what was your strategy going in? Because I'll tell you, my strategy going in was I know every single year in PPR, running backs fall too far. And, like, I was fine waiting. And I got Lamar Miller with the 7th pick of round 3, which I was pretty happy with.
Great pick.
And, you know, I don't love my running backs, but I took enough of them. But I'll go last. Jamie or Heath, why don't you take us through your team with the first overall pick?
Yeah, I went through planning to take David Johnson and figured I'd take a couple running backs at the 2-3 turn and then, or wide receivers at the 2-3 turn, and then we just go from there and see what fell. I do not like the way this draft fell, and I felt like I was just taking guys that were falling to me. Now, I did go with the Adam Azer strategy and make sure I had Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, because I know that the Azer
strategy... No, you didn't do it right, though.
I didn't do it right.
You took it too soon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not the Azer strategy. One of them has to be a mid to late round pick. When did you take Sanders?
5th round.
If the Azer strategy is sabotaging your team by taking a bad player with the first pick of round 5, then you nailed.
He's not a bad player, though.
He's bad.
We do this every year. We act like Emmanuel Sanders is just terrible and I don't want him on my fantasy team. And then every year he finishes
4 good games.
Much higher than everybody thought he was going to be.
He'll have 4 or 5 good games. And the rest of the time,
no, you're confusing PPR Emmanuel Sanders with standard league Emmanuel Sanders.
He's better in this format.
How many catches
I don't think
he has?
I don't think he's
one of the players that gets that floor raised because his catches count.
He had 79 catches last year. I'm honestly asking, is that enough? In 16 games, 79 catches.
He's better. He'll be better than that because the quarterbacks will be better than that. The offensive line will be better than that. So he's probably an 85 catch guy.
All right. Well, then, okay. Fine, Heath. You win. Happy?
Well, I don't know that I won anything because I don't really like my team or the way that the draft went. So I feel like I lose. But I did take Carlos Hyde as my third running back at the end of the fourth round.
You're still confident in him?
I liked Carlos Hyde as an end of the second round talent before all this nonsense about I don't know if Carlos Hyde fits the system, and the whole I don't know if Carlos Hyde fits the system stuff just seems ridiculous to me because he's better than any running back they had in Atlanta. Yes, he's better than, he's a better running back than Devontae Freeman.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's fair, but
different.
I think the fact that they signed a guy, traded for a guy, drafted a guy, and don't like the guy that's supposedly on the top of that group,
but
kind of speaks volumes to him.
It's
not being a
like they had to add depth at running back. They had to add depth at running back. I understand that. And Carlos Hyde has been injury prone, and I understand that. They did not devote a ton of assets to all these guys they went after.
No, but I think it's just the collective group. You know, Kyle Shanahan has a good track record with run games, but his guys are somewhat fluky. I mean, Alfred Morris was a 6th-round pick. Dave obviously was very excited about him coming out of the NFL draft, but that still was a guy that they cultivated. That wasn't somebody that they expected to be a star. Steve Slayton, the first guy he really had in Houston, was a guy that they cultivated, wasn't expected to be a star. And the thing that makes me the most nervous about Carlos Hyde is the general manager took a running back off their draft board. And the coach said, no, 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 I have to have that guy. And they begged him to take Joe Williams in the 4th round.
Yeah.
So you factor the whole thing in that they spent a draft pick to get a guy, signed a guy who's, Tim Hightower, he's just a guy. But he's still somebody that can be 150 carries, as we saw.
But they're not like just sitting Carlos Hyde and giving Tim Hightower 150 carries.
I don't think it was a bad spot where you took him.
Right. But the next running back taken was Marshawn Lynch.
And the running back that
preceded, much rather have Hyde than Lynch.
The running back that preceded Carlos Hyde was Joe Mixon. One pick before Heath had taken Carlos Hyde. Would you have taken Mixon if he were there instead of Hyde?
No, I'd rather have Hyde than Mixon.
I would have taken Mixon.
One last thing, though. How much more would you like Heath's team if he had taken Joe Williams? Dave took Williams in the 13th round. You had ample opportunity to back up Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, I don't even know who I took in the 13th round. I did not have any running back spots available at that point. I only had quarterback, defense, and kicker, so I could not have taken Joe Williams. I could have taken him instead of Tyler Lockett, but I fell behind at wide receiver.
DST in round 13.
Right. I had to take a defense, a kicker, or a quarterback.
He was down to his last three.
I see.
Well, you could have.
The Lockett pick is the one you could have.
Yeah, you could have, instead of Tyler Lockett in the 12th round, you could have taken Joe Williams.
He's my third running back, and I devoted a lot of resources to running back early on. I was chasing wide receiver at that point.
He did also take two tight ends, though, just to kind of circle back.
Right.
All right, look, if you draft Carlos Hyde right now, nobody's drafting now, but right now, there's not much of a market for Joe Williams. You can take him late if you want to go that route. All right, so as we look at Heath's team, you Carson Wentz, really?
I'm just streaming quarterbacks. That's what I do.
Philadelphia, week one at Washington.
Could be good.
It'll be fine.
David Johnson.
He was very good last year when Lane Johnson was on the field.
He was good. Yeah, he was definitely good. David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Giovanni Bernard, Carlos, I don't know why I said Bernard before Hyde. Hyde, Bernard, Matt Forte, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, Tyler Lockett, Stephon Diggs.
That's not my third receiver.
Okay. Jordan Matthews, Stephon Diggs, and Tyler Lockett. You have Tyler Eifert at tight end. Yeah, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I don't really love your team.
I don't hate my team, and I feel like most of the wide receivers I have are going to be better in the PPR format, and they're probably guys that I like more than everyone else does, so that's why I ended up with them. But this was not my plan going into the draft either.
Not to, you know, go back to Hyde, but it's probably the Hyde pick, because if you had gone, let's just say, receiver there, Sanders, and maybe, I don't know.
That's the problem.
The guy you like, if it's Edelman, Tyreek Hill. I know you're a DeSean Jackson guy, you know, but...
Right. You know. And I really thought DeSean Jackson would come back to me at the end of the sixth round.
Right.
But I did not want to take Julian Edelman. I didn't want to take the next. There was not a receiver until Corey Davis. I guess I could have just taken him.
Yeah. I think it's just the fact that you invested so heavily
right.
in running back early.
And I like my running backs better than I like anybody else's running backs.
I'm sorry.
And I like my running backs better than I like anybody else's running backs. So
just to compare. Because this is what I wrote about. Like George Maselli's team, mm-hmm. he did the same thing. He went running back. He ended up with Le'Veon Bell and Jay Ajayi, which you could say is on par with your two guys.
Right.
He still ended up with Jarvis Landry, Jameson Crowder, Julian Edelman, Larry Fitzgerald. That's a pretty solid foursome in PPR.
It is. I mean, I chose Thomas over Landry, but yeah, he's on par.
No, I'm just saying his group.
Right.
Like his group. And he still has the running back duo that can match like what your strategy was.
But he doesn't have running back depth, really, whereas Heath does, which I don't know that you need that in PPR necessarily, but how much did it bother you, Heath, and we'll go to David's team next. How much did it bother you? You take David Johnson with the first pick in a 12-team PPR league, and before your second pick, Allen Robinson and Doug Baldwin are off the board. They go 10th and 11th in the second round. And then you take Todd Gurley. Like, would you have considered going, instead of Gurley with your second pick, would you have considered going either Robinson or Baldwin and Demaryius Thomas and gone two receivers there?
Oh, absolutely. That was the plan. Robinson, Baldwin, DeAndre Hopkins, any of those guys. I figured one of them would fall.
Okay. So there was that little run on wide receiver at the end of the round. Changed your strategy. And you didn't want, and as we mentioned, you passed on Gronk three times.
I did pass on Gronk. I hate Rob Gronkowski. I think he's a fraud. I don't think he's actually good. I'd be surprised if the Patriots win 9 games.
It's funny because nobody knows this yet, but Heath actually punched a hole in the Gronk cruise. So the ship may sink.
So you said ship, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, let's go to Dave's team now. Dave had the 8th overall pick. No, excuse me, had the 9th overall pick. I had the 8th pick. He took Melvin Gordon in round 1 and Jordan Howard in round 2, and now you need some running or some wide receivers, Dave Richards. So how did it go?
It went well, in my opinion, because I can just mix and match my receivers every week, and this is one of the philosophies that I want to work with this year, and I think we're going to need something to go after or hold on to make ourselves feel better if we don't get one of those stud top 8 or 9 wide receivers, because I just don't think the likes of Doug Baldwin and Devonta Adams, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, they're legit number one fantasy wide. So I think they're very good, but I don't know if you could look at them the same way you look at T.Y. Hilton, Dez, Jordy, and the studs at that position. So I took Terrell Pryor. I believe he was my third round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then I got to bring up my
You took Jordan Reed.
Was Jordan Reed my fourth round pick?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So I didn't like any of the receivers that were left for me in round four. That includes Golden Tate. I passed on him. Might have been the one guy that I could have taken a chance on in a PPR league ahead of Reed and felt a little bit better about my team. I was kind of hoping Crabtree would fall to me in round four. Jamie took him with the very next pick. And no, my receivers I'm pretty happy with. I don't know exactly what rounds I took them in, but here's my group. I got to start two of these guys every week. I've got Terrell Pryor. I've got Tyreek Hill. I've got Pierre Garçon. I've got Prashad Perryman. And I've got the waiver wire.
I like my wide receivers better.
I'm not saying I've got the greatest wide receivers of anybody in this league. I know that certainly there's a lot to be desired with them.
There's always the waiver wire, Dave.
You've got the waiver wire.
I don't think it's really so horrible that that's what I need to be told.
Not what you consider.
I think you got one potentially very good guy in Pryor.
Agreed.
I like Garçon. I like Garçon better than Tyreek Hill in PPR.
I almost felt like I sold Garçon.
Yeah, I was taking him right after. I was upset.
Round
that,
seven.
That you took him in the spot you did.
You took Brandon Marshall.
I will say from the stuff.
Huh? No, I like Garçon better.
Yeah. The non-CBS drafts I've done so far this year, we are going to be the high guys on Pierre Garçon because I'm one of the highest guys in those drafts, and you guys are way ahead of me.
Look, it's going to take Joe Williams running away with the 49ers job in the backfield to make that passing game. Absolutely. I think they're going to be trailing or in close games week in and week out, and Garcon's going to hog targets.
I think the one thing, just looking at your draft, that I would have done differently, and I don't mind Mark Ingram in round five, but you take a receiver there, and that, I think, makes your team that much
who
better.
Who am I taking?
I mean, any of the guys that went right there. Corey Davis.
No chance.
Would be great. I'm a Willie Snead guy. I would have taken Snead there. Fitzgerald, who is 100 catches.
I did think about Larry Fitzgerald.
Brandon Marshall fell a little bit in this draft.
Wait, why not Corey Davis? Why no chance on Davis? He actually went later in this draft, I think, than he did in the standard scoring draft. Davis went with the fourth pick of round five, the rookie wide receiver for Tennessee, 41st overall in the standard scoring draft. And in the PPR draft, he went 59th overall.
I'll tell you, just, you know, I was, not to get into it, but I was dealing with a lot of I was drafting from the app. I was dealing with a lot of personal stuff at the time. So I was just kind of looking at the top of positional lists, and I was like, oh, I need a running back. So I took Gillislee. And after I did, I was like, oh, why did I let Corey Davis go there? I should have taken, because I was right after Dave. So Dave took Ingram, I took Gillislee. And I was like, I can't believe I just passed on Corey Davis after it happened. And then
taken him ahead of Gillislee.
Oh, yes.
What am I missing here?
I almost took him at the 4 or 5 turn. So
I like him a lot. I don't know if he's going to be 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns and 80 catches.
Honestly, is 65,907 because that was
Rashad. I don't know if he can do that.
Oh, I'd be disappointed if he didn't do that.
I would be disappointed if he didn't come close to that, I guess. But
just think I like Marcus Mariota a lot. I think he's a really good quarterback. He had almost nothing last year.
He had second tier guys. This is a first tier guy.
Yeah. He's got a number one now.
Yeah.
And Delanie Walker's 75 years old.
Yeah.
Any lessons learned here, Dave?
Absolutely none. None whatsoever. I like this team. It's not the best team. The lesson learned is that stop drafting with you sharks. You take all the stud receivers.
Well, yeah. I think you should have taken a wide receiver in the first round. And I'll tell you why. Because look at round 7. Bilal Powell and C.J. Anderson went in round 7. So
my team's ruined. I don't have Bilal Powell and C.J. Anderson.
Are you kidding me? If you have two or three great wide receivers and that's your number two running back, Bilal Powell, who could catch 50 passes, or C.J. Anderson or Eddie Lacy, who could just get in the end zone, those could be your backups.
Oh, yeah.
Or wait.
They went before Dave picked in the 7th round. He couldn't have got them anyway.
Fine. Round 6, you could have had, you did take Mark Ingram. But after that, Paul Perkins, Theo
could
Riddick.
Have had Frank Gore.
Danny Woodhead. They
could have had Jamal Charles. Could have had James White. Could have had Doug Martin. Oh, I took Martin in round 9.
You could have had Kenneth Dixon and Terrence West.
How many running backs do you have?
I've got. Have you ever drafted with me before? This is kind of what I do.
It's PPR. Why do you need all these running backs? Your flex isn't going to be a running back.
It is.
It is.
It's not. It should not. Your running back should pretty much never be, unless it's like a Danny Woodhead or something. Like, you just should not flex a running back in a PPR league. And if you're going into it thinking that, I think you're approaching, not you, Dave. I'm talking to the audience. I think you're approaching it wrong.
No, I don't totally agree with that hard, fast rule, because if it's a situation where wide receivers fly off the board and you take a running back three or first four picks, your running back's not going to be a bad flex.
I'm not going to reach for anybody. I put out a draft board and I curate it for a reason.
Okay, but I think you might have to reach for wide receivers in PPR leagues. And I'm not sure that we're talking about reaching. I do think Amari Cooper was a bit of a reach, but
I thought you reached for Tyreek Hill.
Dave, not me. Yeah.
Where, in round six?
Yeah.
I think he can get a ton of touches this year.
But are they going to be catches? Because Willie Snead is going to have more catches than Tyreek Hill. I took him with the next pick.
So is Fitzgerald.
I think Fitzgerald will. I'm not sure about Willie Snead. I think those guys are about equals. And Hill obviously has a lot more big play potential.
I'll tell you one thing that struck me in this draft, and maybe this could be the lessons learned. I look at Snead and I look at Fitzgerald and I think, boring.
Right.
Whereas I look at Tyreek Hill and I think to myself, this guy had 61 catches last year. He didn't play as much as he's going to play this year. He also had 24 carries. He had 3 touchdowns on those 24 carries.
I don't think he's going to be able to contribute. Though. That's the thing.
It depends on how many times he gets in the open field, because no one else in the league can catch up with him.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
how many times I do think one thing that
we don't discuss enough with Tyreek Hill is that Jeremy Maclin is not going to be as bad as he was a year ago. There's no way. I mean, he missed 4 games or he played through or missed 4 games. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I'm pretty sure missed 4 games with a groin injury. And so he's not better than Tyreek Hill. He's not taking Tyreek Hill's big play ability away, but he's probably taking some targets away. And he's probably taking a couple touchdowns away. And I think Kareem Hunt's going to be better than Spencer Ware. So their running game should be a little bit better, too. I don't think they're only scoring 3 rushing touchdowns from their number one running back.
Weeks 1 and 2 of the season, Willie Snead had 9 targets and 8 targets. He had 9 catches for 172 yards and a touchdown. And then he had 5 for 54 and a touchdown. And then he got hurt. And then Michael Thomas took over.
Yep.
So I don't think Snead is boring. Jamie, I'm not going to steal your thunder. You've been the Snead guy.
Well, he's a third-year receiver.
And you cursed me out for drafting him, by the way.
Huh?
What, you cursed me out for drafting him. One of two times.
I probably shouldn't have. I didn't really curse you out for that one. It was the combination of the next 3 picks that you did, because you did it purposely with that stupid smile you have on your face.
No, I didn't do it purposely.
Yes, you absolutely did.
What was it?
So it was Eddie Lacy and Jamal Williams. You knew I was going to take those guys exactly in the spots where you took them.
I did not know that.
You even said after I confronted you on it,
Williams,
you were like,
yes.
I had to do it.
Williams, I knew you. I took Williams in what, round 7? No.
Williams was round 9.
Yeah, okay, round 9 for Williams. I know you love him. And I knew you were going to be bad.
You basically, just starting with the Snead pick, you took Snead, who you know I like. Then it was compounded by Dave taking Garcon 1 spot in front of me, which we had just got finished. Not that Dave doesn't have his own opinion on it, but that we just finished the day before. You're like, where's the guys you like? And I'm like, Garcon's a guy I'm going to go to bat for. And then it was round 7, you also took Lacy. So it was Lacy, Garcon right in front of me. I was bleeping the both of you.
Yeah.
And then round 9, it was Jamal Williams.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not that sorry. So let's talk about your team real quick here. Your team was weird. You took a quarterback and a tight end a little earlier than I'm used to seeing you pick. So how did it shape up with you picking 10th?
I don't mind it, but it's not a typical team for me. So it was a little strange to have it unfold. It's really the second draft in a row, because I don't usually go quarterback, tight end early, and I think the last time I took Gronk and Andrew Luck in kind of the same spots. Not in the same spots, but in the same first 6 picks. So Jordy Nelson and Devontae Freeman with my first 2 picks, and then Michael Crabtree and Travis Kelce next. It was just kind of best player available through those 4 picks. Round 5, like I said, I kind of I don't want to say screwed it up, but I don't really love Mike Gilsey in round 5 when I, you know, just kind of looking at it, oh my gosh, I need a running back, and I took him where I could have waited on that. And then Drew Brees sitting there around 6. I think that's just good value.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I took him. And then everybody started taking everybody I like. So it was Brandon Marshall around 7. And then I went back-to-back with the Redskins running backs, Kelly and Samaje Perine in round 8 and round 9.
I like that, by the way.
I do too. I think your running backs might be fine if you just don't take Gilsey. Like, if you had not taken Gilsey and not taken any of their running backs,
I probably would have done some different things along the way. And then I purposely tried to get Dave back in round 10, so I took Tyrell Williams in round 10.
Always good to try to spite your opponent. That's a winning formula.
That was the Garcon spot. I love Terrence West in round 11. I mean, we talked about this the last time, that I think he's just going to fall to a good spot if they don't add anybody.
Let me read your team. Let me just recap it for you.
And I think the two best value picks in this draft was R.J. White taking Marcus Mariota in round 14. How that happens, I have no idea.
No, that's right.
And Jack Doyle in round 13.
It happens because nobody wants to take a backup quarterback. So once they've got theirs.
But why would Mariota get drafted behind some of these guys? I don't.
Heath, you didn't take Wentz before Mariota, did you?
No, I didn't take Wentz until my next to last pick.
Okay.
Chris took Rivers over him, which I, you know, you could argue is a mistake. Chris Towers took Rivers over Mariota, and Marone Bergson took Cam Newton over Mariota. I think that's a mistake. And Dak Prescott went ahead of Mariota.
Okay. So Jamie's team is Breeze, Devontae Freeman, Mike Gillisley, Rob Kelly, and Samaje Perine, and Terrence West. Jordy Nelson and Michael Crabtree, Travis Kelce, Brandon Marshall at flex. He has Jack Doyle as a backup tight end with Tyrell Williams and Marquise Lee, Prater and the Cardinals DST. I was the only one who took... of the four of us that took two wide receivers with his first two picks. Interesting. And I ended up with Roethlisberger, Lamar Miller, Amir Abdullah, Eddie Lacy, Jamal Williams, CJ Procise. I took Procise to pair, Azer Strategy, paired him with Eddie Lacy. That's how it's done. Amari Cooper and AJ Green are my wide receivers with Golden Tate, Willie Snead. I took four wide receivers with my first six picks. And you never know how things are going to work out, so I like to have a little bit of depth. Yeah, I don't love taking a bench player with my first six picks, but that's kind of why I'm a little weak at, well, very weak at tight end with Fleener, and a little weak at quarterback with Roethlisberger.
Had just taken Doyle, I would love this team.
I know, I guess I'm not there with Doyle yet, but I could be convinced. I also have J.J. Nelson. That probably pissed you off too, Jamie.
Yep.
Yeah,
see, I just think, though, if you started off with A.J. Green and Amari Cooper at wide receiver, and you've got some good other depth there as well, I think I would like your team a lot better if you would have taken a good tight end where you took J.J. Nelson.
Who was there?
Most of them.
You took Nelson in what spot? Round eight. So you could have had Zach Ertz in that same round.
Yeah, you're right. I should have. Yeah, that's a mistake. I should have taken Ertz there. Absolutely.
Yeah, you love Hunter Henry. He went in the next round. You passed on Hunter Henry twice. Well, actually, you passed on Hunter Henry 15 times according to Dave. But
the only team in the draft that did.
You could have taken Hunter Henry twice.
You know why I did it? I took Jamal Williams, running back for Green Bay, rookie running back for the Packers.
See, you were trying to screw with me instead of worrying about your own team.
I knew Williams wasn't getting back to me. I thought Henry wasn't either, but I said, I'm going to take a shot. I think Jamal Williams could be the starting running back for the Packers, you know, or the main ball carrier for the Packers, and that's more attractive than a tight end. But, yeah, I don't know. I should have taken Ertz. I messed that one up instead of Nelson. Why did I take J.J. Nelson? What dumb pick. You can see the results on CBSSports.com if you need the draft results. We were going to talk about the rookie-only draft, but we'll save that for next week. And let's read some emails. This email is from Mike Wheeler in Hawkins, Indiana. What's up, Mike Wheeler? Dear Mark, Chris, Richard, and Benj. This appears to be maybe OAR, the band. I don't really care for them, so I'm not going to read this email. No,
well, that's shocking that you don't like good music.
They're not good. Second keeper, they're fine. But Dez Bryant in the second or Carlos Hyde in the third?
Dez.
Okay, this is from Derek. He made the biggest pre-draft trade ever. I have the second overall pick in our league this year. It's a 10-team half-point PPR redraft league. I made a huge trade. I got the first overall pick. So now I have one and two. I gave up the second, third, and fourth, my second, third, and fourth round picks for it. So he's going to get Le'Veon Bell and Ezekiel Elliott and give up his second, third, and fourth round picks to get the number one pick. What do you think?
You better hit on wide receivers late.
They'll be
it's
there.
A 10 team league or 12
10,
team?
10.
Oh, he's the. I like it. Awesome.
Yeah, the thing is, you might want to take David Johnson instead of Zeke because it's half point PPR, but up to you. RJ in Rochester. What is the prime location to draft in both a 10-team and 12-team half-point PPR league?
I think that number is going to end up being six.
Yeah.
Because you're guaranteed one of the top three running backs or one of the top three receivers.
I think it depends on what your strategy is, though. Because if you want to get two good receivers, you're not getting two at six. You have a better chance at.
Yeah, you're going to want to go late.
10.
I like eight a lot because I like throwing AJ Green and Mike Evans kind of into that first group, and I know I'm getting one of those eight guys, and then my second round pick's that much better.
Sure. So it really depends on how you feel about Evans and AJ Green. Depends how you feel about Melvin Gordon, Jordan Howard, LeSean McCoy. Mm-hmm. The more of those guys you really like, the farther you can wait in round one. Now, you might be one of those guys. You got to have one of those stud running backs. There's only three, so you better hope you pick third.
Okay.
Yep.
Ryan Paris from Oakley, California says, Dear Valkorion, Darth Vader, and Sheev Palpatine. Is that Star Wars? I know Vader, I think.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
I believe there's...
No, it's designing women, Adam.
He knows that, too.
I know designing women, sure. I'm in an auction league that allows you to keep two players. I'm keeping Le'Veon for $1. Should I keep T.Y. Hilton for 17? No, T.Y. Hilton for 20. Or Michael Thomas for 2?
Thomas. And if you don't win your league with Le'Veon for $1 and Michael Thomas for 2, just go win the league.
Somebody got hurt.
It's it should be the best $2 you spend when you get James Conner for $1 too.
There you go. Christopher Walter in Palm Coast, Florida says, Dear Luke, Han, and Chewy, that's designing women. Quick question about contract years. Do you buy into contract years in fantasy football? Players playing well in their last year before free agency?
No.
We used to.
I still do.
And just the track record, I would say, over the last 5 years, it's been a while. Just it hasn't quite been there like it used to be. Just had, it was one of the reasons why we loved Eddie Lacy last year.
Yeah, but it was also the same thing why we liked Doug Martin the year before.
Sure.
Dave, you know who I
think it's just something that can help hold up your argument. I don't think it's necessarily something that makes the argument.
You know who it's working for, Dave?
Who's that?
You agree. Michael Pineda. Right? Wouldn't you agree?
Sure.
Okay. Dave talked about baseball. We can end the show. Thank you all for listening to Fantasy Football Today. Dave, Jamie, Heath, thank you guys very much. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about our rookie-only draft for sure and a lot more for fantasy football. Yeah, you know I don't know how to exit shows. You know that if you listen to baseball.
Say goodbye,
butchering this. Bye.
Bye.